God, we want to thank you so much that you care about us, that you want to help us through the day. You want to help us through the week. You want to help us through the school year. God, thanks for the great experiences both groups have had at Ice Camp over the winter here. God, would you help us as a lot of people have got tests and projects and things coming up. Some people had good days, medium days, and bad days. Would you lift our spirits? And God, would you teach us tonight? Would you help us to walk with you, to follow you, even when we can't see the way? We pray in your name. Amen. When I was a kid, I liked to swim. Any of you guys like to swim? Got some swimmers? Nice. When I was in elementary school, my parents had signed me up for like swim lessons. So I did all like the, you know, the beginner, intermediate, advanced swim lessons, did all that, and liked swimming enough that I joined the swim team of the club or the pool that we went to. And so for a couple of years in elementary school, like, I don't know, like 9, 10, 11 or so, I was on the swim team. Let's see, I like to swim. What did I swim? I swim freestyle, back, and fly. Were kind of like my strokes that I did. How many of you guys have been on a swim team before? Anybody been on a swim team before? No one. Okay. Yes, a few. Okay, three of you. Okay. Any of you ever taken swim lessons before? Yeah. Okay. Whole bunch of you, right? Hopefully you learned how to tread water and survive and perhaps even raced a friend or two swimming, right? Later, in like high school, I was in the Boy Scouts, and our Boy Scout troop took a trip down to Dale Hollow, like on the border of like Kentucky and Tennessee. And there's a big lake down there, and our troop rented a giant houseboat, and we brought like a couple ski boats, and we camped on islands throughout the lake and with boat and stuff, which is pretty cool. Well, one of the challenges, one of the things we did that week was we had a mile swim contest. And there was like an award or a badge or something if you could swim a mile, which was really far, actually. So we set up, we kind of like had some boats tested out, like the best distance. So we figured out if we swam from our base camp to shore where we were, that was a half mile, and then turn around and come back from shore back to base camp, made the whole mile. So we had a whole bunch of guys who wanted to try it, okay? And not everybody who tried it made it. And so we had a couple, like, spotting boats that would come along beside us. So we had to swim, and the cool part was you could see the shore of where you needed to go. But it was a long, I mean, it took, like, over an hour to swim to the shore, and then you weren't allowed to stay there long. You could get out, catch your breath, and then you had to get right back in and keep going because the challenge or the badge was for, like, a continuous mile, right? So we broke it up in two distances. And there's a few times where I just felt like throwing up. You know, like, you're swimming your guts out. It's a lot of strokes. And we're going through the middle part of the lake, and there's other boat traffic, other people at the lake. So some of the spotter boats had to, like, make sure that, you know, we were okay. Sometimes waves from the other boats would come and kind of push us around and try to get there. And a few guys were like, you know what, I'm done. And they would climb in the spotter boat and just be done. A handful of guys made it, you know. I was one of those guys that made it, but I didn't want to make it. I kind of wanted to quit and just give up because, thankfully, I'd had a lot of swimming training before that. So if I asked you what's the longest distance you've ever swam, you may say, well, you know what, I've only ever swam in the Hilliard Pool, or I've only swam some laps, or maybe you've had a longer distance, which is pretty cool. I want to tell you a story and actually read you a story about a lady named Florence Chadwick. She was a ladies swimmer from the 1950s, and she has a pretty cool story about her swimming and the distances that she swam. So if you would, listen along to her story here. Most long-distance swimmers crank out around 60 to 70 strokes a minute. A 10-hour swim requires 42,000 strokes. A 15-hour swim would require 63,000 strokes. And that's what 34-year-old Florence Chadwick was ready to do on July 4th, 1952. She was going to swim 21 miles in the Pacific Ocean from Catalina Island to the California shore, a feat that no woman had ever accomplished. So I thought it might help if you could see a map. So here's our theme tonight, keeping the goal in sight. So here's Florence. There she is. She's got her swim cap on there. She's out at the ocean. There was actually articles in the newspaper about it when she was attempting it. And we were just reading about this one. This is Catalina Island off the coast of California. And she was going to swim this distance all the way toward where this is Long Beach area. All right. So ocean swims bring up a whole new set of variables. Open water swimmers who tackle ocean swims almost always encounter currents, waves, and wind. A swimmer attempting a 21-mile swim might actually swim several miles further depending on the currents, and add to that many of the obstacles that they might face. Sharks, jellyfish, kelp beds, and oil fuel patches. Open water competitors often emerge from the ocean swollen and scarred from jellyfish stings, sunburn, and swimsuit chafing. I mean, seriously, like 15 hours in the water swimming, your bathing suit might rub a little bit. But for Florence Chabot, she was used to enduring these conditions, and her 21-mile swim in this foggy July day wouldn't be her first feat of this kind. She had been swimming long distances in open water for her entire life. So check out her background here a little bit. Florence grew up on the beaches of San Diego, competing as a swimmer for the first time at age 6. And when her uncle entered her in a race, as a young girl, it was already evident that Florence had a knack for endurance races. She didn't care much for the sprints, but Florence loved distance. At 11 years old, Florence won first place in a 6-mile rough water race across the San Diego Bay Challenge. That's crazy. As a 11 years old, swim 6 miles in the ocean. That's impressive. This kid was probably one of the only 11-year-olds who would have survived an escape from Alcatraz. Supposed to be a little bit of a joke there. At 13, Florence came in second in the U.S. National Championships. For the next 20 years, she competed in swimming events, thriving in any venue that offered a long distance. In 1936, she actually tried out for the U.S. Olympic team, but she didn't qualify because all the events were short distances, and that wasn't her best suit. So in 1950, Florence decided to tackle the greatest open water swimming challenge at the time. She wanted to swim across the English Channel, which is this other one I'm going to tell you about. Okay, here. This is France, okay? She wants to swim from France all the way over to England, all right? A big, wide open, long area, and I don't know why Buzz Lightyear is there, but he's kind of pointing the way, right? So if you want, like, if you zoomed in over here, this is France, and she's going to swim to England. Seems kind of far, right? All right, the distance across the channel was about 23 miles. I mean, think about just running that would be a feat, okay? Swimming that in the ocean, crazy, right? Check this out. Fewer than 7% of those who attempt to swim actually complete it. Fewer than 7%, okay? On August 8th, 1950, Florence was not only made the swim from France to England, she beat the world record by over an hour, with a time of 13 hours and 20 minutes. And in an interview after the swim, Florence said, "I feel fine. I'm quite prepared to swim back." Which is crazy, right? So she like totally rocked it, crushed the record. Swimming back might not sound problematic for someone like Florence, but it proved to be a much more daunting task that no woman had ever swam the channel the opposite direction in reverse from England to France. It was a much more difficult swim because of the currents and winds and tides. But on September morning of 1951, Florence finished the swim in a record time of 16 hours and 22 minutes. So she swam later, she swam back this way against some of the currents and tides, which is crazy. I mean, this lady's like a beast, right? Totally, totally cool. She could like crush Aquaman. That's a joke, no? Yes, no? Yeah, okay. All right, so here we go. So it would seem that the 21-mile Catalina Island swim on July 4th, 1952 shouldn't have been a problem because she'd already swam some longer distances, right? Florence had done greater distances and conquered more formidable challenges. She was prepared for sharks and jellyfish and currents and winds and tides. She was in shape for the distance and motivated to be the first woman to accomplish it. But there was one element that Florence wasn't ready for. Okay, now she's trying to do this swim over here, from Catalina Island to California, and all throughout here was fog. Fog. Californians who live on the coast are familiar with fog. And when Florence got into the icy cold water that morning and began to swim, the fog was so thick she couldn't even see the boats that followed her. And it's a good thing for Florence had support boats that day, because several times her support crew had to scare away sharks with their rifles. But Florence wasn't worried about the sharks or any of the other elements. Her concern came every time she looked up to see her goal. The North American coast, the coast of California. And what she saw was nothing. nothing but fog. Florence swam for more than 15 hours while America watched on television. Her trainer and her mom encouraged her from one of the support boats. Keep going, you're almost there. But every time Florence looked up, she saw fog. At 15 hours and 55 minutes, you guys, I don't do a lot of things for 15 hours. I don't even sleep for 15 hours. I mean, that's a long time, right? And she's swimming in the water. Florence looked up one last time. And as she scanned the water in front of her, desperate for a glimpse of her goal, she wrestled mentally, fighting to persevere, thinking about all that she had accomplished. She swam the English Channel both directions. She was the first woman to complete many of these swims, and she had beaten the men's time. So today would be yet another victory if she could just see her destination. But all she saw was fog, and just before 16 hours went by, Florence asked her support boat to take her out of the water. Florence gave up. It was the only time Florence Chadwick had ever quit. Florence was only a half a mile from California when she gave up. So why did she give up? Well, she couldn't see her goal. And as Florence sat on the beach, feeling the true agony of defeat, she told a reporter, "Look, I'm not excusing myself, but if I could just have seen land, I know I could have made it." But instead, the fog had defeated her. You guys, that's crazy. You think a woman like that would have been able to persevere. And I think I undervalue sometimes being able to see your destination, being able to see the finish line made a mental difference for her. You guys, like Florence, many Christians lose heart because of fog in their life. So let me ask you, has fog, like the things of life, ever gotten in the way of you following God? Have you ever been overwhelmed by circumstances and situations and relationships and life and school and work and sports and all of it where you kind of started to lose your way? Or maybe you forgot the plot. You forgot the point. What was the point of following God in the first place? So sometimes when we can't see the purpose, or we can't see the end, or we can't see the goal, or we can't see the reason to keep going, that we're tempted to give up. So ask yourself, have you ever thought about giving up on your faith? Just, you know what, it's just not worth it. Or I just can't do it. Or gosh, God seems so silent. Or I just feel so lost in my own problems. I just can't see the way. So you might wonder, or you might even have this question, how do you stay the course? How do you finish when you can't see the finish? Well, the answer is, not surprisingly, is it takes a degree of faith, doesn't it? To chase the finish line that you can't see. For Florence, the day that she beat the challenge and made it across, it was still a foggy day. But she knew that the coastline would eventually come, right? And she had a different mindset that second time. So I want you to take a look at a really great verse out of the Bible. This is in Hebrews chapter 12. So how do I stay on course when the fog of life might be trying to hide the way from you? Or maybe you feel like God is far away.
Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles and lets us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
Did that verse make any sense to you? Look at it again, okay? I'm going to break it down for you here. How about this? I'm going to give you the big idea. When the foggy circumstances of life cloud your vision, okay, you can't see, keep your eyes of faith on Jesus. You guys, check this out. This is a real photo of the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco. Look at that fog. Is that crazy? What if you're a driver on that bridge? Do you know where you're going? No way. I'm pretty sure they're going to have to shut the bridge down that day. I can't imagine what Florence felt like when she was seeing this fog on the ocean, right? But if you've ever been in a place that's foggy, I've been down to like the Smoky Mountains and I've been hiking in the mountains when the fog settles in and the clouds come down into the village and into the mountain areas. Like, seriously, like from me to Thomas, like you cannot see the next person. It is crazy, crazy thick with fog. But when life gets that way, you guys say this with me. When the foggy circumstances of life cloud your vision, keep your eyes of faith on Jesus. All right, so we're going to break down the verse that Logan was reading for us. Because of the faith of others, is kind of how it starts out. It says, therefore, since we've been surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, people that have gone before us, know this, that you're in good company. Okay? There are people that have gone before you. And if you don't believe it, I want to read it to you. You guys, there's this crazy section in Hebrews chapter 11 that some people call the Hall of Faith, okay? And these are people that did awesome stuff for God. And the writer of Hebrews goes on and kind of like says, hey, look. And then after this section I'm going to read to you comes the verses that we read, okay? So who are we talking about, the cloud of witnesses, the people that have been before us? Well, here are some of their names. It says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Are you ready? By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. By faith, Noah, when warned about the things not yet seen, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place that he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land. And all these people were still living by faith when they died. And they did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. Okay? They didn't get everything that they were promised right away. Okay? Some of them, it was going to be an eternal heavenly reward that they were doing, that even while they were on earth, they didn't get. And here it goes some more. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. Do you remember that story? By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke out about the exodus of the Israelites to Egypt. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, and they were not afraid of the king's directive. By faith, Moses chose to be mistreated along with the other people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a time. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea onto dry land. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. And by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And then he goes on to say, I don't have time, you guys, to even tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. He goes on and on and on and on and on about these people of faith. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and taunting and flogging, while others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated, and the world was not worthy of them. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us so that together with us that they would be made perfect. You guys, crazy long section, but check that out. That whole chapter comes before what we read here. Okay, if we go back. And then it says, therefore, since we're surrounded by all these people of faith, what should we do? Well, I don't know about you, but that's a pretty awesome legacy of people. And I know it was a lot to read, but because of all that, this is the beginning. Here's what you do next. You throw off everything. All the weight that's holding you down, all the things that slow you down, and the sin that trips you up. What do? How do you run after Jesus? How do you keep your eyes fixed on him? Remember the past, and then throw off the stuff that's slowing you down. If you're a sprinter, would you put ankle weights on to win the race? No, you might for training, but it's not going to help you win on the game day, right? On the race day, right? So throw off the stuff that's slowing you and holding you back, and then run with perseverance the path that God's got for you. What does that mean? Well, we're going to talk a little bit about obeying God, the things that he wants you to do in your life, and then fix your eyes on Jesus, not on your surroundings or your circumstance. Because I fail at that every week, maybe every day. Do you ever just focus on your circumstance or your surroundings? Oh, come on, be honest. Anybody ever focus on their circumstance and surroundings? Yeah. And Florence did the same thing. She focused on the fog, and that's why she failed on that first attempt, right? And that's a lot like us, right? Sometimes we get so close, and then we just can't finish. And then at the end, consider his suffering. Who's suffering? Who suffered for you? Jesus, right? So remember his suffering so that you don't do what? Yeah. You ever get weary and lose heart? I do. Get tired, right? It's hard to keep going after life sometimes, right? And God's like, look, remember what Jesus went through, because he went through a whole heck of a lot more suffering than you and I will probably ever experience, right? In his physical body. But he finished. He went to the cross anyway for you and me. And so don't give up. Don't lose heart. All right. You guys, at Ice Camp, both groups that went had the theme of let's go. Let's go. Right? You guys remember that? Right? Owen's got the little tap. Nice. The speaker we had on Saturday night, his name was John, and he shared with us some tips about how we could keep going. If you've known Jesus for a long time, perhaps, okay, what do you do next? What's the next steps for you? And he offered some great advice. It was do this pretty much for the rest of your life. Do these three things. Hear God's word, speak God's word, and do God's word. And so I wanted to encourage you. So, you know, what is next in the journey for you? Well, yeah, we're supposed to love God and love people. That's kind of our two major overarching commands that God wants us to be about. But what do those really mean, and how can we really do those? Well, part of that is this. If we really want to love God, we've got to hear his word, which means read it, study it, understand it, and then speak it back to yourself. Use it to defend yourself against temptation. Remember Jesus, when he was tempted by the devil, he used scripture to combat and to fight off the enemy, right? And then do God's word. So here's what I want you guys to do for the next couple minutes. That little word do is two letters, but it has so much meaning, right? So talk to me. What in the Bible is something that we're supposed to do? We're just going to come up with a whole bunch of ideas. What are the people of God supposed to do? Follow his laws. Well, let's explain. What are they? Don't lie, cheat, or steal. Good. Okay, what are the Ten Commandments? Honor your parents. That's something we should do. What else? Okay, have no other gods except for God the Father, except for Christ, right? No false gods. What else? Serve others. Yep. Preach the gospel. Share your faith. Make disciples. And a disciple is a follower, so make followers of Jesus. Help people grow. Pray continuously. I like that. What else? Put others above yourself. Praise God. Give God thanks and praise, for sure. What else? Love your neighbors more than yourself. That's good. Okay, pray for people who are persecuting you, who don't like you, who are against you. Yeah. What else are we supposed to do? Come on, dig in your brain. What kinds of commands and things has God asked us to do? All right, I'll give you some categories. What do we do with our mouth? Share the gospel? Yeah, what else? Do we cuss and swear and have a dirty mouth? No, we have good, wholesome talk, right? Okay. What do we do with our bodies, with our sexuality? Do we just give our bodies away to everybody? No. What do we do? Keep them clean, keep them pure, okay? Wait for marriage. Don't fill your body with crap, okay? Drugs, alcohol, addictive things, right? What else should we do? Should we be nice? Should we be kind? Should we be helpful? Yeah, so you guys get this idea. We could spend an hour filling up a whiteboard of stuff that this little word, do God's word, says, right? All the things, God's commands, God's laws, his principles, all the stories in the Bible, putting those into practice, putting those into action. I don't know if you guys get this. That's a lot, right? It's a lot. And here's the thing. God wants us to be about those things for the rest of our life. So what does it mean to be a Christian and follow God? It is slow, steady progress upward, okay? slow, steady progress upward, moving toward God, doing the things of God long term over time. Now, you know what? That's not sexy or flashy or glitzy or fancy, but it is the way we grow. Are you with me? It's slow. It's steady. It's a step of obedience after a step of obedience after a step of obedience. Nobody really likes the word obedience, but it's following God a day at a time, a step at a time, an hour at a time. And then you build a life of faith. And over time, you grow and you mature and you mature and you mature and you serve and you love and you keep doing that and you keep doing that and you're growing more and more like Jesus every day. But as a teenager in Hilliard, sometimes it's hard to see the shore, that goal of following Jesus and becoming a mature Christian and follower of God, this long-term picture. Sometimes you get lost in the fog of really following Jesus and what does it mean, right? You guys, there's an author that I really love. His name is Eugene Peterson. He wrote a paraphrased version of the Bible called The Message. But he also wrote a devotional book that... when I was in college, my hall director gave to me when we graduated. He put in my hand this book called A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. And kind of a weird title. But if you take it and break it down for a second, that I don't know if you guys have been in band or if you've been in a sports team where you've got to do a lot of repetition. So maybe in band you're doing the scales. Or you're doing the chords over and over. Or if it's in sports, maybe you're running sprints or you're running laps. And day after day after stinking day, you're running laps and you're running sprints and you're doing scales and you're doing chords. And over time, you know what you're doing? You know what you're building? You're building the fundamentals of your skill or your craft, right? So that it becomes second nature. So that when you're in the concert doing the thing, you know the chords and you know the music, okay? And when you're on the sports field, you have endurance for the fourth quarter because you've been training and training and training and training. So that when the fog for your Christian life comes in and tries to derail you from God, if you've been spending time with him and praying and connecting and coming to youth group and going to church and trying to take small steps of obedience and following Jesus, when the big stuff comes, you're going to be more stable. You're going to be able to handle, with Jesus' help, the junk of life. Are you with me? And maybe not get derailed and feel like you've got to quit. Some of the students we were talking at camp over the weekend were like, you know what? Camp is cool because you get pumped up for God. But then you come back to Hilliard and it's kind of like crappy. And like, it's fun to be around all those students and all those people and around worship all the time and good teaching all the time and fun activities and good people. But when we come back here, life is just different. And it's not as fun, and it's harder. And so there's another book I wanted to recommend to you guys called More Than a High, that your Christian life doesn't have to be mountaintop experiences at camp, retreat, trip, camp, retreat. And then in between, you have these 6 months of valleys, of low points, of no time with God, of no connection with other people, of being disconnected and lost. And then you go to camp again, and you get... Are you with me? So that your spiritual life ends up being a spiritual roller coaster. And the guy who writes it, he's like, no, man, it doesn't need to be that way. Those moments are good, but you can't just live on this feeling, right? So this slow, steady, upward movement toward God that you build on that over time, right, is going to be far better for your growth than these, you know, giant highs and super lows. That we could be more consistent and more steady, and that our faith could be more stable. Does that make sense? Hard to do, though, because we're driven sometimes by emotion. But I think God wants more for us than just the mountaintop and the valley experiences, you know? You guys, check this out. I want to read to you the end of the story. All right, here's the end of Florence's story. On that foggy July morning, Florence might have lost the battle. But check this out. She returned to Catalina Island 2 months later to accomplish her goal. The fog was just as thick, but this time Florence swam with her faith intact. She knew her destination was there, even if she couldn't see it. And Florence completed the swim in 13 hours and 47 minutes and 55 seconds. Not only becoming the first woman to accomplish the swim, but she shattered the men's record by more than 2 hours. I mean, just crushed it, right? She knew her destination was there, even though she couldn't see it. You guys, we can't see God. I know that's not news to you, but I'm going to just remind you, we can't see Jesus right now. And sometimes we get lost in the fog because we can't see the goal. We can't see the finish line. But I want to encourage you to say, you know what? That doesn't mean we can't have victory. And as Florence had victory over the fog, I think you guys can have victory over the fog in your life too. So she knew her destination was there, even though she couldn't see it. And the author of Hebrews, remember, telling us of all the people in chapter 11 who endured the times when God seemed far away? They were all people of faith. And they knew their destination was to be with Jesus someday and experience the joy with him. Even though they couldn't see him personally, they had their faith and believed in him. You guys, the people in the Old Testament, I don't know if you guys get this, they had to look forward to the future when Jesus would come for the first time. Are you with me? Because they lived before Jesus came, their faith was living forward for the future. And they looked toward Jesus coming someday. Okay? They lived on the other side of the calendar. Are you with me? And we, 2,000 years on the other side, we know Jesus already came. And so we have to look back and remember that he came 2,000 years ago. Are you with me? And as we do that, remember that he did come and it was real. And then together we can look toward the future when he's going to come again for all of his people and take us to be with him. You know, it's cool, but it's crazy that neither the people in the Old Testament nor us living now got to see Jesus. For those 30 some years he was alive on the planet, those people got to experience it and see him and touch him and feel him and ask him questions. But for the rest of us, we have to live by faith, and that's kind of where we're left. So would you pray with me? God, sometimes it's hard when we can't see you and touch you and feel a hug from your embrace or ask you a tough question that we've got or just to see and know that you exist and are for real and legit and that our faith is worth it. But God, we want to be like those people in the Old Testament and say, you know what? We're going to be a generation. We're going to be a people that live by faith. God, would you help us when the fog of life feels thick and we can't see our way? Would you remind us that you are good and that you are God? And would you show us the direction we need to go? God, would you help us to do those things, to hear your word, to speak your word, and to do the word of God? God, we pray that you would remind us that when the foggy circumstances of life cloud our vision, that you would help us keep our eyes of faith on you. In Jesus' name, amen.